Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hello, welcome to the New Books in Jewish Studies podcast. I am your host, Ari Barbalat. Today, I am honored to be in dialogue with Dr. Barak Cohen. He is a senior lecturer of Talmudic literature at Bar-Ilan University. We are here to discuss his new book, For Out of Babylonia Shall Come Torah and the Word of the Lord from Nehar Pikud, The Quest for Babylonian Tanaitic Traditions, published in Leiden by Brill Publishers 2017. Barak, it's an honor to be in dialogue with you today.
For having me here.
To begin, can you tell us about the context behind your interest in this topic? Can you tell the story of how your interest in this specific piece of research originated?
That I try to answer in this book is what happened in Babylonia during the Parthian period. In other words, what do we know? We know that the Palestinian Talmud, we know that the Tanaim in Palestine created literary halachic compositions in Eretz Israel from the years 70, the destruction of the Second Temple, to the time of Rabbi Yehuda the Prince in about 200 or 220 AD. Now, what happened in Babylonia? Since in Palestine we have the Mishnah, we have the halachic midrashim also. But what happened? We have also the Tosefta at the end of the Tanaitic period. But what information do we have communities in Babylonia of that period and about legal traditions in that? The first to ask such a question was Professor Yeshayahu Gafni in his book, The Jews of Babylonia in the Talmudic Period. He said that this is a very, very important, and I leave this question to Talmudists, to scholars who deal with halakha and literary compositions of Sifrut HaTorah Shebe'al Peh, of Talmud, Talmudic literature. And this was very interesting for me, and I had to find a solution and try to test these questions. And obviously, these questions for me in this book, historical implications and halachic implications as well.
What are the primary themes in this book? What message does this book convey?
This book tries to analyze the legal Tanaitic legal traditions in the Babylonian Talmud. And in this book, I try to analyze or provide a new dating of the Talmudic Tanaitic materials in Sasanian Babylonia. In other words, the Tanaitic halachic material adopts Sasanian realia. And how were these traditions redacted in a new way in Talmudic Babylonia? And this provided me in a new way, a new of dating Palestinian material in the Babylonian.
What are the primary themes in this book? What message does your book convey?
This with a new dating of Palestinian material in the Babylonian Talmud. Not only a new dating, but also it provides us with new scientific research methods of identifying Palestinian material in the Babylonian Talmud. Every scholar who deals with Talmudic history must know the different methods of how to date Palestinian traditions or Baraitot in the Babylonian Talmud. There are all kinds of Palestinian traditions and all kinds of, they went through all kinds of reductional processes. But, however, one should know that area of dating the Palestinian material in the Babylonian Talmud.
What would you like listeners to get out of our dialogue today?
I want them to get to know how Palestinian were brought from Palestine and adopted in Sasanian Babylonia. Many of them were reducted based on Sasanian realia. Many of them were understood to be different from their original meaning and so on. But we have different criteria of how one should date. Any historian or Talmudist who deals with the Babylonian Talmud and wants to date and know the origin of these Tanaitic or these Halachot, whether they were indeed Palestinian or not, needs to know the different criteria of how to date this material.
Why is it important to study early Babylonian Tanaitic traditions?
Because many of the interpretation of the Babylonian sages into the Mishnah and Baraitot and to biblical verses were based on earlier Tanaitic traditions. This is the general assessment of the sources. So therefore, one should get to know whether Torah study was practiced in the Tanaitic period in Babylonia. My conclusion was that we have very few halachic traditions in the Tanaitic period, very few, that originated in Babylonia, and all that we know about the halacha in the Tanaitic period in Babylonia goes back to Palestine. In other words, Babylonia, halachic authority of Palestinian sages in Eretz Israel.
Why is it important for students and readers to know about an independent Babylonian Mishnah, which originated in the Proto-Talmudic period? Why is this relevant in the year 2023?
Every scholar, historian, or Talmud analyzes or builds an historical picture of Palestine or Babylonia needs to know how to date Palestinian material in the Babylonian Talmud. For instance, Chanuch Albig, one of the greatest scholars who has dealt with this topic, this issue in 1970, thought that a tradition which is in Aramaic wordings presented to us in the Talmudic Sugya in Aramaic and not in Hebrew is thought to be of Babylonian origin and not Palestinian origin, since it is presented to us in Aramaic, even though it is attributed to Palestinian origin as a Palestinian halacha. This was found by me not true, because many, many of the content of these halacha are indeed Palestinian in origin, because I read many of these Tanaitic traditions one by one and compared the content of these traditions to Palestinian Tanaitic or Amoraic, early Amoraic halacha, out that even though they are terms or Aramaic wordings, they were indeed documented in earlier Palestinian halacha. This shows us that it teach Amoraic wording does not necessarily teach us about the of the Babylonian halachic tradition. You must go back and analyze always the content of the tradition, so you are indeed able to understand is a Tanaitic or a Moraic halacha.
How does your book contribute to debates surrounding continuity and change in halacha?
In the book, I tried to differentiate between literary style and wording and content of halacha. In other words, many of the Tanaitic traditions that are attributed to Palestinian halacha in Babylonia of literary phenomena that modern scholarly research for their Babylonian Palestinian. Why? Because only when you check the content, halakha, separately, only then this is the knowing whether this halakha is Babylonian or earlier points on the Palestinian picture. Any historians who deals with the world of the Amoraic legal system in the Amoraic period, Jewish marriage, gifts in contemplation of death, and different cultures in Eretz Israel and Babylonia, in Palestine and Babylonia, it is very, very important, because when you build ages and their culture, you must know or make sure that every halakha you base yourself upon is, you need to know if it's Tanaitic or Amoraic, if it's early Palestinian halakha or late Babylonian.
What new light does your book shed on the editing and redaction of the Talmud? What role did editing play in the sources that you examine here?
In this book, I try to argue that there are many, many Tanaitic collections or traditions that were brought in a very earlier period from Palestine to Babylonia, and the Amorite period redacted these to be more of a Babylonian origin. In other words, in Babylonian wording, and they were from different sources, Palestinian sources, and even as a one provided as a one legal source in Babylonia. But all these literary phenomena do not prove anything of these Tanaitic traditions. In other words, every historian should be very cautious before building the history or attributing a specific source to a Babylonian origin and claim that this halakha was created by the Babylonian Amoraim and not the Palestinian Amoraim, because there's always parallels to the content of these Tanaitic traditions and not the their literary style as they are in the Babylonian Talmud.
As a researcher, how do you balance academic objectivity with sincere devotion to the texts you examine in this book? Since this book appeared in 2017, how has it been received by different audiences? Which responses surprised you the most?
There are many, many scholars who quoted the book while dealing with historical issues or topics such as Babylonia during the Parthian period, during the Tanaitic period, or the relationship Babylonia in the Talmudic period, or in the question of whether a specific Tanaitic halakha depicted in the Babylonian Talmud or Palestinian halakha or invented in the Babylonian realia. And I was really surprised that recently Hebrew University, who dealt with other topics, mentioned the book as one of the most important scholarly topics nowadays in Talmudic research.
To those who are unfamiliar with halachic texts and rabbinic literature, can you define the term baraita? What does it mean? To our listeners who might not have background in Talmud, can you explain what is a baraita?
A baraita that I deal with in the biblical traditions, the Tanaim, between the years 70 AD, the destruction of the, and the reduction of the Mishnah in 3rd century AD. Now, a baraita was related to legal material which from the Mishnah by Rabbi Judah the Prince, the great redactor of the Mishnah. We have many, many Tanaitic traditions that are mentioned by the Palestinian or the Babylonian, treat these traditions, Tanaitic traditions, as they did towards the Mishnah. The legal traditions attributed to the same Tanaim, same sages in Palestine during from whatever reason, and we need a specific case, why these traditions were left out by Rabbi Judah the Prince in the reduction of the Mishnah. But these traditions that are mentioned or quoted in Babylonia with specific terms, Babylonian Tanaitic traditions or Tanaitic traditions or Baraitot. Bar, Hebrew mean, or in Aramaic, means outside, These are traditions that were left outside from the Mishnaic legal corpus.
Can you explain the Tanei Tana Kame Baraitot? What are they?
Kame Baraitot are, if I translate, a certain Tana, a certain or reciter, recited a specific for the Rashi Yeshivot. And we have more than 30 such traditions in the Now, Chanuch Albeck and many other scholars claim that these traditions are not originally from Palestine, but their origin is attributed to Palestinian origin. The reciter recited the following in front of Rosh Yeshiva, a study school in Palestine or in Babylonia. So it was mentioned in the Babylonian Talmud and every baraita, in order whether these traditions are or Babylonian, and even more important, why are these specific traditions or opening, their opening was Tani Tana Kame, terms in the Babylonian Talmud, Rabbanan, in order to present openings to Tanaitic, usually Tanaitic traditions. What's so special about these terms? Why are they provide this specific way? Who cares if these specific traditions were recited before a Rosh Yeshiva, head of a school, or not? And my conclusion was that each and every of these baraita was presented before a Rosh Yeshiva, because these traditions were very problematic with their halachic content. Therefore, only the Rosh Yeshiva, as a Yeshivot, was halachic. They were the halachic Sasanian Babylonia. And therefore, only their approval, only their stamp of approval, when they approved such a braita, only then binding halacha in Sasanian Babylonia. That while the Talmud provides a te'ur, Ari, איך אומרים te'ur באנגלית?
Explanation, theory, concept.
When you say a certain Tana recited the Baraita in front of Rosh Yeshiva, meaning, איך אומרים את זה שזה, זה te'ur, who cares על התיאור הזה? Who cares if this tradition was...
Relevance, importance,
is a picture. לא חשוב, אני אנסה למצוא this term. Okay, if you could please ask the question again, ואני אענה לך על זה.
Can you comment on the history of scholarship on this topic?
Yes, many of the baraitot are considered to be Babylonian in origin. Why? Because all kinds of literary related to these baraitot. For instance, like the baraita that I mentioned before, Tanei Tana Kame, a certain recited the Baraita in front of a local authority, Rosh Yeshiva, in Babylonia. So why is it attributed to a Babylonian authority? According to the main argument by Talmudic researchers, this proves that the origin of these halachot are indeed Palestinian halachot, in Babylonian Aramaic, because they were created in Babylonia. Why do these Palestinian halachot don't have explicit parallels in literature in Palestine? Because they, again, were origin was Babylonian, not Palestinian. Therefore, every historian or Talmudist who found these baraitot thought that they depict in the Talmud the world of the Babylonian sages or Babylonian realia of halacha, and not Palestinian halacha. But however, what I found was wordings, the Abba Amoraic wordings, and other all kinds of literary phenomena, they indeed proved that they went through Babylonian reductional process. That's, there's no question about that. But many of these halachot are indeed Palestinian, not Babylonian. Why? Because they are mentioned in different Tanaitic Palestinian halacha or Amoraic. So we date Palestinian halacha.
How did you grow personally during the process of preparing this book?
This book consists of 9 chapters, 9 different studies. 5 of them were published in different, very important journals such as Journal of Oxford University, Journal of Jewish Studies, and so on. And during the years, since the year 2013, after finishing my previous book on legal methodology of the Babylonian Amoraim, I went to these baraitot and understand how they were created, the Babylonian and Palestinian traditions, and so on. And this is how I created the basis of year by year, finishing another study in a bigger picture of the Babylonia. This is how I created the book in the years.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. And this is the part I really like. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning. You simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor's the solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. Head to factormeals.com/NBN50 and use code NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NBN50 at factormeals.com/NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
How do the rabbis you examine here appear in the Jerusalem Talmud?
Samuel from the first generation of the Babylonian Talmud, including his Baraitot collection of Baraitot legal traditions from Palestine, are also documented in the Palestinian Talmud. And in many, many cases, they are indeed Palestinian in origin because they are found, they have parallels in the Tanaitic compilations in the Tanaitic period. But they're depicted in a very, very similar way. Absolutely. Tanaitic traditions of Levi. Levi ben Sisi was a very famous scholar who immigrated from Palestine, from Tiberia. He was a pupil of Rabbi Judah the Prince, and he immigrated to Babylonia. He was even older than Shmuel, and he also immigrated to the city of Nehardea, and in Nehardea, he also redacted a Tanaitic corpus of Palestinian material.
How does Rashi interpret the anecdotes and traditions attributed to the sages you examine here?
I think that Rashi was the first one to claim that these traditions were indeed collections of the Amoraim, the literature. In other words, the Babylonia and the origin was indeed Palestinian. Scholars nowadays were very skeptical about Rashi's interpretation to this phenomena, to these Baraitot, and this is the reason that I dealt with this topic in depth. This book is mainly for researchers of the history who deal with history of the Babylonian Palestinian sages, or Talmudic scholars who try to deal with a reduction of the Babylonian Talmud and reduction of the Tanaitic compositions in Babylonia.
Since this book was published in 2017, has your thinking on this topic changed or evolved in any specific ways?
Yes, in a separate study published 2 years ago in 2020 in the Journal of Asia, that there's also another reason why these Baraitot, and we're not in usual terms, Tanya in Tanu Rabbanan of Baraitot. What I found out that while age who quotes or recites uses the term Tanya or Tanu Rabbanan, which is a usual Tanaitic source. How was late specific sages and quoted in the name of the earlier sage, Tanei Tana Kame, or create or a recitation of a Baraita in the name of the Babylonian. See how the terms in Babylonian, the earlier sage who quotes the first time the Baraita in the Babylonian Talmud uses a verb, Tanya or Tanu Rabbanan, but a later sage who quotes in his name, quotes the same tradition in the name of that earlier sage, creates a term, a literary term, Tanei Rav Ploni. Tane Rav Ploni in the Babylonian temple.
Absent time and space constraints, were there any questions or topics you wish you could have included in this book, but could not due to limits and circumstances? What subject matter, if any, would you ideally have included, but did not or could not?
Could also provide the readers with compositions in Babylonia, but I thought that, but by was it's providing with too many examples, and by examining so many Tanaitic compilations was pointless, and therefore I thought that by providing the readers with 6, 7, or 9 Tanaitic compilations would be enough.
What misconceptions about the history of halakha does your book challenge? Why do these misconceptions exist? Why are these misconceptions problematic?
That one of the reasons that attributions in the Babylonian Talmud are unreliable is because they were passed on from generation to generation by heart. And we all know that by doing so, by memorizing hundreds of legal traditions, they could be very unreliable or changed and so on. My analysis of the text proved this to be wrong, because you see that many legal traditions that are mentioned already in earlier Palestinian compilations were indeed the wording of the rewritten in Babylonian Aramaic, but their content was attributed and originated in relations. So therefore, I think by using this argument in general, passing on halachot by heart, considered as very problematic the case. Because if a Tanaitic composition, halacha, mentioned in a Tanaitic composition, recited in Babylonia in the same Talmud, in a chronological huge gifted for 300 years, is one case, not, we're talking about tens of cases, a oral tradition. Think conclusions of my recent book.
There are many people that you thank in your acknowledgments. Would you like to express gratitude to anyone publicly who helped you in developing this book?
First of all, the original idea was from my and master's thesis advisor, Professor Meir Feldblum, Alav Shalom, Sichrono Livracha. And he's the first one who provided me with the idea, even though it wasn't the subject of my PhD, my master's or PhD dissertation. But I always thought about this topic. And after finishing my book on the legal traditions of the legal methodology of the Babylonian Amoraim, I had to go back and try to analyze and see if his idea, I think that absolutely that's true, idea of a research. And I had to go on and try to prove it. Why? Because after reading Yeshayahu Gafni's book, The History of the Jews in Babylon, I had to conduct such a research.
How do you feel about the time? Should we end? Should we go on? Is there anything else you'd like to address regarding this book? Do you feel ready to wrap up?
It's already 8 o'clock. Should wrap up.
Okay.
And no my problem. Wife, but what's up? What's happening with you? Where are you?
Okay, I apologize. Okay.
Seven.
Okay. As we end our dialogue today, can you tell us about your current research and the research you have done since completed this book?
My current research deals with about the question of the legal ruling. Were they based on legal pluralism and tolerance towards diversity, diverse opinions in Sasanian Babylonia, or Amoraim were subject to earlier traditions and they couldn't contradict these earlier traditions? And I was able to provide three different studies way the legal system, that's a different topic.
As we end our dialogue today, I'd like to express my utmost gratitude to you for your time and attention. Thank you for your thoughtful and detailed answers throughout the course of our conversation.
Thank you, Ari, for inviting me.
Thank you. It was a tremendous honor. Thank you. To our listeners, I am your host today, Ari Barbalat, on the New Books in Jewish Studies podcast. I have been in dialogue with Dr. Barak Cohen. We have been discussing his book, For Out of Babylonia Shall Come Torah and the Word of the Lord from Nehar Pikud, The Quest for Babylonian Tanaitic Traditions, published in Leiden, Netherlands, by Brill Publishers, 2017. Dr. Cohen is a senior lecturer of Talmudic literature at Bar-Ilan University. Thank you.